This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
It's another hour of What's On Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. Busy hour for you. Bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Brent Sanford, Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Dakota. Follow up on a listener question yesterday related to the Coal Creek Station, where that discussion is at, the future of that power plant that Great River Energy said will be decommissioned by late in 2021. We're also going to talk with him a little bit about state budget pictures. New numbers are in for the month of May, off about 20% from projections. I don't know if that's worse than we thought, better than we thought. We'll find out from Brent coming up on the program, including also your chance to weigh in with all of our guests at 701-258-0550. You can text us, me at 701-367-2054, Todd's at 701-226-8503. Right now, we welcome to the program Congressman Kelly Armstrong. Kelly, how you doing?
I'm great, Scott. I stayed in D.C. an extra day just so I didn't have to reschedule with you again.
Oh, what a deal.
That's not entirely true. I had to be here anyway.
I apologize to Kirstie and your children. We kept you in D.C. one more day away from Dad. Well, anyway.
This remote stuff that everybody else does, I don't think the people in North Dakota voted for me to hide in my garage. So when we have stuff, I get out here.
Yeah, glad you're there. I saw you at the White House with the president, the attorney general, and other officials yesterday on the announcement of the police reform. That, too, made it there. Before I get to talk about police reform, though, I want to ask you about this morning's Supreme Court decision rejecting the bid by the Trump administration to end the legal protection for Dreamers. There are a lot of moving parts to this. It goes back to the Obama administration. They punted the ball to the Trump administration. Trump wanted Congress to fix it. They didn't, so ultimately it went to the Supreme Court. And I guess the narrative today is that John Roberts swayed the other way and joined liberals, and so DACA will remain. What's your reaction?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's unfortunate that this is always ends up in the hands of the courts, and I think it's also unfortunate that, once again, the Trump administration kind of takes heat for things that aren't completely accurate. If anybody remembers, when he first came in, he had the most comprehensive immigration plan that we have seen from a Democrat or a Republican in a very long time. The only thing he required in return was, amnesty reform and border security. And apparently that wasn't good enough. So I haven't got a chance to read the decision. I know what the orders were. I'm going to be interested in seeing what legal gymnastics they got through to get through this, but I will read the whole decision and see where it's at. But I think I'm probably not going to agree with the decision when I read it, would be my guess.
Yeah, it's interesting. It looks like Roberts was sort of doing his usual contortions of saying, well, they didn't take this into consideration, so therefore I've got to jump to that, which reminds me of his Obamacare ruling.
Yeah, and outside of the policy on Obamacare, Scott, it was just a really bad legal reasoning. Without getting too into the details, I mean, you can disagree on where that is politically, but there's certain law that you would hope that the smartest or the highest judges in the land would follow. And I mean, it's kind of the same thing here. Whether you agree with the law or not, the law is what it is. So,
yeah, here's one of the narratives on his reasoning. He wrote in the decision that, this is Roberts now, that the government failed to give an adequate justification for ending the federal program. The administration could try again to shut it down by offering a more detailed explanation for its actions. But the White House might not want to end such a popular program in the heat of a presidential campaign.
My problem with that is when you pass something by executive order that never goes through Congress, and then the next president rescinds it by executive order, I find it very difficult to believe that the standards, that's exactly what we're talking about legal gymnastics. It's not like this passed through Congress. This was an executive order by the Obama administration.
Yeah. Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh all filing opinions that concurred with parts of the majority and with parts of the dissent. Roberts, however, said the administration can take up the issue again, a matter that was explicitly pointed out in one of the dissenting arguments. So, sounds like...
Well, I hope the Trump administration is working on this in the same way that that goes, because there's a lot of things that they have done that are really good that, regardless of what happens either in this election or the next election, I hope the next administration can't just unwind with the stroke of a pen then. Yeah. I hope our friends in the Supreme Court take that same approach to executive orders when the other side is trying to get rid of them.
Questions or comments for Kelly? Welcome on What's on Your Mind, 800-228-0550. Let's talk about police reform. I'm going to start with a big picture question. You know, I sit there sometimes and think, okay, well, I get we've had a series of episodes that have caused this concern across the country, and so politicians are going to do what politicians do, and that's like, hey, I got to get out in front of this. I got to, you know, let's offer a solution. But should Congress, should the federal government be leading with police reform, or should that be community by community?
Well, I mean, so I kind of come at this from a very different approach. You know me. This has been a passion of mine before I ever got into politics, so I deal with that. But I think that's a very, very appropriate question, and I raised that issue several different times in the hearing yesterday. 1.3 of 1.5 million people incarcerated in the United States are either in state or local jails or prisons. It is very difficult, and we need to be very careful about dictating from the federal level how local police departments do their business. And more importantly, if you represent a state like North Dakota, you have to be very, very careful that in their quest to solve whatever urban policing crisis they think they have, they don't put unbelievable undue burdens on our small local law enforcement agencies that exist all across the state of North Dakota.
So, yeah, I guess, in other words, your hope is to make it better because the train's leaving the station on being involved, but at least be under the hook.
Well, there's things we can do. I mean, I think more de-escalation training as a standard is a very good idea. I think that most law enforcement agencies, for one reason or the other, don't do near enough training on those things. Those are good for North Dakota, too. They deal with mental health. They deal with a lot of those different issues. Qualified immunity needs reform. But it also needs to be replaced with something, and that is a federal issue, but it needs to be replaced with something so we don't, I mean, just completely hang law enforcement out to dry. I mean, because that's what would happen if we just repeal it.
I apologize.
Go ahead.
I apologize for this analogy. I've used it a few times, but it's one, you know, we all see these stories from time to time about a teacher having a sexual relationship with a student. And, you know, the teacher gets fired, sometimes courts are involved, whatever. But it's not rare, right? You hear about it. But I never hear anybody immediately after saying, we need teacher reform. Because, you know, teachers are having sex with students. We never said, let's have teacher reform. I mean, that's horrible. I can't think of anything worse as a parent, the idea of, you know, your child's at school to learn and this is going on. I mean, if I were a cop, I'd say, screw this. I'm out of here. It just seems like we're throwing the weight of the world against these folks who defend us every single day. Am I wrong?
No, and I think you saw it yesterday. You know, we were in the hearing. We were putting forth very good ideas. I mean, I started the hearing yesterday with an amendment to require federal law enforcement, which is under our purview, to record interviews. And the reason is because in the Democrats' bill, they have a provision which I actually agree with, is that federal law enforcement has to wear body cams. Well, we have jurisdiction over the federal law enforcement. We're requiring them to wear body cameras. I just find it ridiculous that you can detain somebody, your body camera is rolling, but then when you're going to coerce a confession out of them, you can turn it off. Like, so it was obvious that they weren't interested in taking any Republican amendments to the bill, and this is turning into, unfortunately, just another messaging bill. But no, you're right, and I think more importantly, I don't discount that there are police departments all across the country that have varying degrees of real problems dealing with race. But you can't, like, North Dakota has a very strict two-step process to get a no-knock warrant. And so you're going to ban no-knock warrants nationwide or at least tie it to federal funding without ever recognizing that, you know what, maybe some places already have some of this figured out. It's not a binary decision. There's a lot of these things that could use a little reform, but you don't just get to get rid of all of them because, you know, there's 10,000 people marching in downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah, exactly right. Gordon in Belcourt, question for Kelly Armstrong. Go ahead, Gordon.
Hey, yes, sir. I just heard you specifically talking about a police precinct, I believe, in North Dakota that had been taken over or close to be taken over by a Black Lives Matter organization that had as you referred to him, a warlord in charge. And I just wanted to know, as a correctional officer, I should know this, but what city in North Dakota are you talking about?
That was in Seattle.
Oh, Seattle.
That's in Seattle.
Oh, it's in Seattle. Okay, I didn't catch the whole thing. I just caught the last part of caught the last part of it. All right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it, guys. Have a great day.
You bet. Let's hope that's not North Dakota, but
I don't think that's happening.
Somebody
here
just sent a note here that said, Fargo is North Dakota's Minneapolis, and you wonder some days. It's definitely where the challenge is. These protests are not happening in other North Dakota cities. If they are, they're very small in nature. More with Congressman Kelly Armstrong. We come back. Jimmy and Bismarck, Dana and Judge, stay tuned.
Let's ask Brock Walker from Blue Flint Ethanol Plant in Underwood. He's an electrical instrument technician. A little bit about the question of ag and energy coming together. What do you think you're in? Which one?
I would think we're in both. I mean, we are providing a place for local farmers to bring their corn that they grow, and they can locally bring it to our facility. As we receive most of our corn from local farmers that truck their corn to the plant to sell. So definitely part of the ag industry in that respect, but the energy industry, we're trying to, create energy independence here, in North Dakota, so we can use the corn we grow here and create a fuel that we can use right here in the state and in other places. So I'd say we're in both the energy and ag industry.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org. ndethanol.org.
Hometown cooking. Nothing like it. And you know what? It's waiting for you now at a PetroServe USA location near you. That's right. They're open and serving great grab-and-go homemade food. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. And great food, like the 4-for-4 special every day, a hot stuff personal pan pizza, two of the best cookies in town, and a 20-ounce drink, yours, for just $4. 4-for-4. Come on in to PetroServe USA.
H.A. Thompson & Sons, helping people for over 100 years save money by doing it right the first time. Now they build unique maintenance programs that apply a financial and mechanical solution to lower your owning and operating costs. They didn't like the old model in the industry, which was providing services and billing hours for repairs instead of getting paid for making your equipment run more efficiently and reliably. H.A. Thompson & Sons can tell you more. Call them at 223-3393, 701-223-3393, or at hatandsons.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
In My Pillow, and right now some great deals at MyPillow.com. Promo code Scott gets you all the deals if you look for the radio listener specials box. You can leave Paul McCartney up here. We'll do that for his 78th birthday today, right?
78. Sir Paul is 78 today.
That's something, yeah. He has a grandson that goes to school with my daughter.
Really?
Yeah, I guess he's pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
That's what she says. Yeah. Anyway, MyPillow face masks right now are priced right, $59.99 for a 20-pack with the promo code SCOTT. Those were the ones they actually were donating to hospitals around the country. They have a surplus now, and these are really good. So if you're looking for those, maybe somebody in your family obviously want to have a good supply of good masks to protect, whatever. You know, I mean, get the good ones. 210 thread count, double layered. Also, Mike's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO is fantastic. We get you free shipping on the book when you use the promo code SCOTT, plus you get a $25 gift card from MyPillow as well to go with it. So that's a great deal. And we're going to see Mike down to the Black Hills for the 4th of July celebration. We're doing a little event down there. We're going to start telling you more about that as we get closer to that. But July 3rd is when President Trump will be there at Mount Rushmore for the fireworks show that evening. His entire family's coming and quite an entourage. It's just unbelievable who's all going to be tagging along. And we are going to be doing an event with Mike Lindell and Donald Trump Jr. prior to the president's event. So like a daytime event, then a nightfall event. So a lot of fun, and of course here in the Black Hills. So should be great fun. Fun chatting with Christy Nolan about it all this week. She's excited about it. We're excited about it. So hope to see you there. All right, let's continue with Congressman Kelly Armstrong and your questions or comments. Jimmy and Bismarck, go ahead. You're next on What's on Your Mind.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, Kelly, I got a question for you. So, when the president makes an executive order, like Obama did, and if somebody thinks it's against constitutional law or whatever, then they have to go to court to prove that it's legal or not? Is that the way I understand it?
Yes. In order to challenge a law or an executive order on constitutional grounds, you have to go to court to ask to. All of those things are presumed constitutional, so you have to challenge them in court.
Okay, well, the next time you talk to President Trump, tell him to do an executive order to get rid of the NFA, and then we'll all go and buy anything we need. By the time that gets to the court and gets overturned, we'll have all we need. I mean, if the Democrats can go out there and put ridiculous stuff up like DACA, then we can go out and do something that is actually against something that's unconstitutional like the NFA. That's against Second Amendment.
So, I mean, yeah, those types of things, and I should point out, too, that there's a second step to this, which is an injunctive process, which people actually did try to get on some of these things and were denied. But, yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying, and I don't mean it in as stark of terms, but if we're going to say it is impossible to unwind previous administration's executive orders because they have the color of law, even though they never passed through Congress, then hopefully for things that are important in North Dakota, private property rights, Second Amendment rights, egg and energy issues, I hope that the ones that have come out that have been really good are equally as hard to unwind.
Yeah, Obama's term, when they bring a knife, let's bring a gun.
Let me piggyback on his question here. How about Mayor Tim Mahoney, who has some frustration with One Fargo Black Lives Matter folks? They want to continue to protest. Initially, we're not dialoguing with the city about it. Just said we're going to do this. We're not giving you any information. We're not doing anything. Now they're at least talking to the police. But he is because of concerns of people trying to protect their property, law-abiding citizens protecting their property, is issued a emergency order that says no guns, City of Fargo, on Friday. Is that something like Jamie's talking about there that you could take to a court and say, how does this wash with the Second Amendment?
Yes, somebody could absolutely try and file an immediate injunction, but I would phrase it like this. If you think the risk is so severe that you have to infringe on Second Amendment rights, why aren't you canceling the protest? I mean,
exactly.
That's the First Amendment right. That's absolutely the wrong way to approach this. And I have a good relationship with Mayor Mahoney, but you're putting yourself in a situation where you're either going to enforce what I think will be deemed an unconstitutional law, or you're going to put something in place that is unenforceable. And that is just, I mean, that's the wrong approach. And by the way, that's not my decision on this. There is case law, U.S. Supreme Court case law on almost this exact issue.
Appreciate the call. Frank Mandan for Kelly Armstrong. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to mention the argument that you're making about the cop and the teacher. The teacher is going to molest one child and go to jail. They're not going to put the teacher back in the class 18 times in a row to molest 18 more children. That's one of the things that we want to reform. is to give control back to the people running the police department, that the unions can't override this with silly immunity stuff. People need to be held accountable in law enforcement. They also need to have better training. They get crap training, and also we've cut back so much from social programs, and we expect the police to handle everything. They can't do that. The police aren't made to go out and handle unwed mothers and issues like that. It's not their job. They're peace officers. They need to be trained to be peace officers.
I did a little exercise one time. I asked the West Fargo Police Chief, and the Moorhead Police Chief following question: if I could give you a magic wand, what do you need more of? And they said mental health experts. I mean, they don't want more cops.
100%.
Yeah, they want more cops. They want more money. They want more mental health experts because they're all the, you know, a huge percentage of their touches and their calls are related with people that have mental health issues. You know, so that's a tough road.
By the way, that'd be the same answer for teachers too.
Probably right.
Right.
Exactly right. Yeah, because they have to be counselors all of a sudden too. But to Frank's point, I mean, is this a teacher union problem? Should we be reforming? I'm sorry, not teacher union, police union. Should we be reforming? You know, some of the ways in which some of this happens because police unions enable it?
Absolutely, and that was one of our amendments yesterday on the police markup is to address, not get rid of them, but address collective bargaining agreements and how it is so easy to, you know, go to arbitration, steal documents, I mean, deal with these things. There is specific data that will show you that most officers who get terminated get rehired in a lot of jurisdictions are within a year. And by the way, that's important for North Dakota too, and it really is. Because, I mean, if you look across the state, sometimes, especially like during the oil boom, we have a hard time hiring law enforcement, and we have openings with growth in that. And if you get washed out of, finally, to get to the point where you wash out of whatever, the Minneapolis Police Department, the Chicago Police Department, and you still want to be a cop, I mean, there's nothing stopping them from coming out here. But that's one of the things that was unfortunate in the hearing yesterday. You know, the Democrats introduced a bill which I think tramples on state and local law enforcement in a significant way. But when we asked to say, hey, can we address this collective bargaining issue? They're like, whoa, 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 we need to slow down. And so it was blatantly obvious that their relationship with the unions is significantly more important to them than any real true police
report. Let me squeeze in one more call, and I have only a few seconds. Dana, Judd, quick question for Kelly.
Good morning, everyone. Kelly, I want to commend you for standing up to those body cams on the Fed. The age of secrecy is over. Have you watched that Katie Porter, Katie Diamond video? Everyone should look at that. It's pretty good.
So
I'm always for more transparency, but I'm not for unfunded mandates to state and local departments. If we want to get that, we got to figure out a way to help them out with it. Because the one thing everybody needs to remember, storage for body cameras is about 100 times more expensive than the actual machine. So I'm always for more transparency. I think it protects law enforcement, too.
Till we talk again, safe travels, Kelly. Thanks for the time.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott.
It's time. Time to return to Norway. Let's plan for 2021. Nobody better to take you to Norway than Carol Juven at Juven Tours and Travel. He's headed there. Carol, what you got planned?
We have got 5 tours for 2021. We do still have 1 tour left in 2020 on August 10th, and that is a magnificent tour, and we have room on that one, and I will be guiding it personally.
What number trip to Norway will that be for you?
Trip number 180.
Wow. Let's have them build back because this is it in Norway. Tourism is what makes them go. It's pretty phenomenal. And if folks are dreaming a little about 2021, what do they need to see?
Oh, the fjord country they need to see and the people. We don't just tour Norway. We meet the people.
Carol wants to send you a giant map of Norway free. 701-237-9000, JuvenTours.com, and he'll help you find your family with that map. Juven Tours and Travel, 237-9000, JuvenTours.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Trump administration continues a push to at least temporarily block the release of a book written by former National Security Advisor John Bolton. The Justice Department filed an emergency application last evening for a restraining order to stop release of the book, which is scheduled for next week. President Trump talking about the matter in an interview on Fox News last evening.
He was a washed-up guy. I gave him a chance. He couldn't get Senate confirmed, so I gave him a non-Senate confirmed position where I could just put him there, see how he worked. And I wasn't very enamored.
He also reacted to the police shooting death of Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta, calling it a terrible situation, but adding...
But, again, you can't resist a police officer like that.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
What's on your mind? Or Paul McCartney there. Oh, Paul McCartney bumper music. Good song. I like this one.
That was my first concert.
Wow.
1976, St. Paul Civic Center. Wings Over America.
Don't tell anybody, but I had tickets for his show in Winnipeg, and I gave them away. I don't want to be embarrassed, but I don't know what it was. I was just like, I'm not a huge McCartney fan, and I, you know, but I should have. It's one of the Beatles, you know?
Yep.
I should have. Brent Sanford, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Dakota, joining us momentarily. I do have a copy now of the emergency declaration, City of Fargo. It says, whereas the recent incident in Minneapolis that resulted in the recent tragic death of George Floyd has given rise to protest marches and assemblies in Minneapolis and in cities throughout the country, and in particular, during the course of said marches and assemblies in Minneapolis, civil disorder occurred, resulting in significant destruction of public and private property by fire and other means, in looting of private property and general civil unrest. Whereas one or more public marches, assemblies, and protests occurred in the city of Fargo on Saturday, May 30th, which began as a large, over 1,000 people, peaceful, orderly event, but which extended into the late afternoon and evening of May 30th, and which converted into a tumultuous disturbance of the peace. Okay, how do I get out of the history? Whereas organizers of a sit-in at Fargo City Hall proposed to occur Friday, June 5th, ended such plans. Yeah, we know all that. Plans have been announced for an assembly and a march to occur on Friday, March 19th. Said event planned by representatives of Black Lives Matter in One Fargo to recognize Juneteenth. Okay, don't need a history lesson on that. There's an evidence that some protesters intend to carry weapons on their person during said June 19th assembly. Evidence some protesters intend to carry weapons on their person during the assembly. March. And that said, assembly in March will not remain peaceful, that such marches and assemblies will become violent to persons or property and will rise to a substantial and dangerous level of civil disturbance, disorder, riot, or other occurrence. All of that is with evidence, according to the mayor. So, they're citing Municipal Code 10-0318, authorizing the mayor to declare a state of emergency. So, they go through that now. What does that all mean? Shall extend until the mayor determines that the threat of an emergency has passed. Wow. So starts when? When does it start? By the way, it limits or prohibits the sale, carrying, or possession on public sidewalks or public streets or in any public park weapons, including but not limited to bows and arrows, air rifles, slingshots, knives, razors, or missiles of any kind. So...
my missile away, then.
Would you please?
My rocket launcher. Doggone it.
What I wanted to know is how long this... it looks like it's the entire city of Fargo.
Hmm.
You review that for me and just make sure. It's a lot to read, and I don't want to read the whole thing. So, and I don't see the word guns in there, but I see air rifles. That's a little odd. Anyway, it is what it is, and we'll continue to keep you posted on all of that. Brent Sanford is the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Dakota, joins us today on the program, as per your request. Yesterday on the program, Mr. Mayor, I've been talking to many mayors lately. Mr. Lieutenant Governor, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Great, Scott. Thank you for inviting me back. You used to call me Mr. Mayor, so yeah, it's okay to slip on that one.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I was reverting back to your Watford City Mayor days. Yeah, exactly right. Let's start with the budget situation. Speaking of your time as a mayor, do you ever recall? You had some ups and you had some downs as the mayor of Watford City and McKenzie County. Compare that to what you're looking at for a general fund revenue and forecast that has just come out from the legislative forecast.
Well, it feels like deja vu all over again from back when the oil prices went down in 15, 16, and part of 17. I mean, it's something that we know happens in when you're dependent on commodities. And as soon as COVID hit and the demand shock of the oil markets hit and the price of oil, as we all know, went to the minus territory the one day for WTI, and there's been a lot of concern in the West and from state officials and appropriations, legislators that are on appropriations about what's going to happen to revenues. And so we get to see our first peak of what it looked like. It's just the numbers came out today of what it looked like during April. And, April was pretty quiet as far as activity. I mean, but it's amazing to still have, May of 2020 brings in the April revenues, and it was, for example, sales tax was $50 million, and 2 years ago it was $68 million. It wasn't anywhere near, of a catastrophic reduction. There was still a lot of business that was happening. So that's a positive thing. Another positive thing is the retailers are all saying that they're really up in May and feeling good about June is even higher than May. And the luxury buys like watercraft and boats and even vehicle sales are doing well. So your excise tax collections should come back. But the one thing that's out there that's not going to come back yet is the sales tax from the drilling and fracking activity out west. When you see a drilling rig counts like 12, 11, 12, 13, whereas the lowest point we saw for drilling rigs in 2016 was like in the 25 to 26 range. So we had a more drastic reduction in oil activity. And the good thing about WTI bouncing back to the $35 to $40 range is those wells are being put back online that were shut down. So that gets our ongoing production back closer to that, million. We were at 1.5 million. Hopefully we get closer to 1.4 million again and back to 1.5 million of production. But for the drilling, for the new wells that really brings in the sales tax for the fracking and drilling, we've got to have better prices of $35 to $40. And, the articles you're reading and the news you hear from the producers is it's got to be more like $50. If we're in the $45 to $55 band, which we basically budgeted for that type of a band, then you'll see some dropping again. But it might, they're trying to guess of when the markets might come back, and it might be as much as 2022. So as far as seeing new drilling activity, it's very uncertain at this point, but we're glad that there's enough of an oil price that the wells are coming back online. Long story short, the sales tax is going to be impacted by that for likely the rest of the summer and fall and maybe into the rest of the biennium.
But I don't know. I look at it as a sort of a positive when you think of this as a snapshot of April, and April was essentially that, our longest full month of just shut down, right? I mean, there was obviously to the extent that we did have shutdowns, that was the month for it, and that would be the month you think would be the most impact for the economy. So it almost looks like it's not as bad as one would think it would be with everything shut down. Is that too optimistic?
Right. No, it's not. And the good thing about that is if we have a bounce back from May and June, the great thing here is that we were so far ahead of budget. And so, we're still $45 million ahead of a positive variance of budget. And so, there's not a lot of states that can say that are in that type of situation. So we were really doing well through February and even through March. And with even going down a $36 million variance from budget in 1 month that we did for the April revenues that received in May of 2020, we're still ahead by $45 million. So if we come up from our May and June results, and you know, we still have some, we still have $45 million to as a cushion as we get back into the fall. And so hopefully, yes, we get back to some semblance of normal on all the retail activities and restaurants, et cetera. And the excise tax from vehicle and luxury items, RVs, watercraft purchases, that we, and we get where we need to be, and we don't have to go into the allotment process.
And folks, I don't know if you caught this at the end of the last briefing, but Governor Doug Burgum was talking about county by county openings and getting if the numbers stay. And it was sort of a little a little message to say, keep doing what you're doing, be smart, and if you do, we're gonna be opening up here. Here, let me play what he said, and I want to get your readout on what he's talking about here. This is Governor Burgum in the briefing that happened just this past Tuesday in Bismarck. Oh, wait a minute, it won't let me. It's going back to the beginning here. You heard it. You know what I'm talking about. Basically, what I heard was, stay tuned, folks, because we're gonna start getting back to where there's no restrictions and everybody's just back to normal. We may do that county by county. What does he mean by that?
There's some counties that have not had a positive to date, you know, and so some of these activities that were canceled for the summer were basically because of uncertainty with the vendors and the performers and the food vendors, et cetera, more so than what's happening with boots on the ground in those different counties. And as you've heard in some of the press conferences of late, there's a county by county approach for the phasing back in, and it makes differences in like the percentage of seating that you can utilize in movie theaters and restaurants and outdoor events and large events and everything. And so people have to stay tuned and watch what those directives are. I know everyone's trying to figure out from a local level, what are we supposed to be doing? What's the recommendation and how can we best meet that? We see that in long-term care. We see that with street dances and rib fests and county fairs, et cetera. People are being very responsible, trying to follow recommendations. And so, yes, there's some hope, you know, that we'll see a little gradual reopening as the counts stay low, especially in those outlying counties where there have been so few cases and still none in a fair amount of counties.
Different topic based on a caller's request yesterday. I'll just play a little bit of this caller and give you a sense of their concern, and I want to address this with you as well. This came from Craig in Mandan. If you had a perfect world from the current owners or state officials, what would you like to know, Craig?
We'd just like to know how the process or how it's going. I mean, are they finding interested people? You know, or just a little communication, like you said, would be helpful. Right now, it's just a big question mark. We can't plan anything for our future right now. We got people that are pretty much freaking out about it. We got people that are pretty much numb. We got employees like myself.
That is the call about Coal Creek Station and about just wanting some basic information. And I know that you've been working on this. So I said yesterday to the caller, hey, I'll get Brent on. We'll see if we can find out what the latest is. But certainly it's got to be a challenging time when there's all that uncertainty. What can you tell them?
Well, and there's a lot of conversations happening within the corporations and companies and operators themselves, and most of these operations are public companies and or co-ops where you have numerous co-ops that roll up into a larger group, and so there's a lot of corporate responsibility and shareholder and board member responsibility, and so these conversations happen behind closed doors, but there's still conversation definitely about finding an operator to operate the coal plant that wants to produce it into the future as a North Dakota operator.
That's good news. All right, more with Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford when we continue after a break on What's on Your Mind. Don't go away.
We've got Brian in studio from Collins and Kronk Raymond James.
Brian, I was visiting with my girlfriend the other day, and she's just a few years from retirement. She was wondering if she can still retire if there's a recession just around the corner.
This is why planning is so important. When Collins and Kronk does a financial plan for you, we look at several different scenarios. We consider the positives or the good times, as well as the bad. What if there is a recession? We do the math so we can answer your questions with confidence. We want to help you make smart decisions like when to retire or what investments to use.
Whether it's a recession or an economic boom, Collins & Cronk can help you make the right decisions. If you have $500,000 or more, call Collins & Cronk in Fargo today, 701-235-0119, 701-235-0119. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Collins & Cronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
So it looks like the summer of 2020 might be just a bit different than we thought, right? Well, head on in to see Vince at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too, to make something better out of it. Every day made better, like Hot Spring Spas. Like all the fun they have, the game tables, and guess what? The saunas. More and more research out about saunas and how healthy they are for you. Kill everything bad. Get in that sauna. Just clear your head. And you know what? With everything canceled this year, what a perfect summer to own your very own splash super pool. It's made in the USA. It's very easy to own. You'll have it for many years to come. The best swimming pool made. Sets up in less than an hour. Your very own swimming pool can be yours for as little as $90 a month or take advantage of 12 months, no interest, no payments. Take one home today. Swim tomorrow. Make your home the place to be this summer with a splash pool. From Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2 in Fargo, Bismarck, and Grand Forks. Online at Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. Tell them Scott sent you.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at gcnlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at gcnlife.com.
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann. Buick GMC overstocked a huge special purchase of off-lease GM program cars and sport utilities. Enclaves, Acadias, Yukons, Malibus, Cruises. Some of this view is 5,000 miles. Payments starting at $199 a month, all with our lifetime warranty. Over 150 to choose from. We can trade in your vehicle, even if you still owe money on it. If you don't like it, trade it. Schwann Buick GMC, where your warranty lasts a lifetime. SchwannBuickGMC.com.
Back on What's on Your Mind, chatting with Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford on a couple of questions that have come up recently, and always welcome others as well at 800-228-0550. Before I get back to just some other topics that have come up recently on the program, let me just ask you overall, as someone that's working with, you know, the governor recently told us that, I think I asked him, you know, all this time that takes for the briefing, you're going down to once a week now. You know, what can you now use that time with? And he said, well, a lot of that work's still going to be going on behind the scenes, but mentioned that you are very active on the economic development front and dealing with energy and those issues and staying on top of all of them. So what is your overall sense about people being willing to invest in this, you know, COVID world we find ourselves in right now? Do you see a lot of people looking for opportunities? Do you see a lot of chances for, you know, job creation in North Dakota in the coming months and years?
Well, there always will be, and they're out, and there still are projects moving forward, Scott. But right now, it's a little more a lower level than that. It's trying to keep their employees working with lower volumes, and some things we're doing, like at the Emergency Commission, they approving more money for the abandoned well fund, where you've got Browse Bouts and contractors in the oil side, putting their employees to work and cleaning these projects up for the state that otherwise would have been state liability. So we feel it's a good use of the CARES Act. We're approving or requesting another approval for more money to keep doing that out west. And also there's a new fund that's going out, the Economic Resiliency Fund from Commerce, that is to help tell businesses that have had to put in all the different, you know, PPE, all the different protective equipment type that you see when you're at retailers. If you see shields in front of the checkout counters, or if you see more hand sanitizer stations or whatever. I mean, trying to help businesses that are putting in so much investment in that, of keeping it safe so the customers feel comfortable and safe. I mean, so hopefully it's something Commerce heard a lot of reach out that, you know, this could really be a help to help us out with these investments, because it's significant, especially when your volumes are down. So that request is over $50 million. So I think that should have some impact. So we're trying to help out as much as we can on getting people back to work, getting the customer confidence there. And but projects like value-added gas projects for petchem and potential electric generation, all that are still moving forward out west. And so, you know, we're seeing some future type investments still happening. Still the same interest in the soy crush plant and Spirit Wood, and the need for that soy crude oil over in the Dickinson project. So the value-added ag and value-added energy come together in that one. So those projects are still moving. And yeah, we need a little bit of help on the global oil prices to keep more of that investment coming in. And we need a little help with weather and ag commodity prices too, and some of the, you know, the challenges that the producers are feeling from the livestock area, that, you know, some of those things, challenges to be sorted out as we get through the summer as well. But overall, yeah, it's a little more optimistic feeling than we would have thought coming out of what we just went through the last 2 or 3 months.
Also want your take on the long-term care situation. I think that's the one issue that could put a tarnish on an otherwise effective management of the COVID situation by the state, is that there is a lot of family members that are really unhappy with the fact that they have been cut off from their loved ones, and that it remains that way right now. I know there's a program to get them there. I know there's a phase one, a phase two, a phase three, but as you can imagine, it's not happening fast enough for some people. I've learned also in the last few hours that 50 of our 200 and some odd long-term care facilities are still not even allowing outdoor visitation, which is something we brought up before, and they said everybody's allowed to do that. They're not doing it. And I know a lot of this gets put on Human Services and Chris Jones, and put on the Long-Term Care Association, and obviously yourself and the governor. And you know, there's a lot of people in this conversation, so everybody can share a little bit of this. But my question to you is, are we closer to fixing it?
Absolutely. And we need to have, you know, for instance, DHS, Chris Jones, they have call-ins every week of asking for people to ask questions. So the long-term care providers and administrators and managers need to be trying to get as much communication as they can from Shelley Peterson from Long-Term Care Association, from Chris Jones from DHS, of what you are allowed to do or recommended to do with the guidelines, and making sure that we're doing as much of that as possible with advocacy in mind for the residents. And also there's the ombudsman's programs that are out there that always have been there for the, if you have a concern from the advocacy side, for the resident side, and there's existing processes there, local and state level ombudsman programs, and just make sure we're doing as much as we can for those residents and coming and advocating from their side as well in this, because a lot of good stories of reunification, and some of these are just with communication with the facilities that you can allow outside visits, you can allow these types of visits, you can allow husband and wife visits, and it's not something that's been taken away. That's the ability is there to do some of these things, and we just need to be able to do as much as we can and keep everyone safe. It's quite a balancing act trying to thread that needle and just keep moving forward together, and collaborating and communicating is the only way to get through it.
You mentioned the ombudsman program. That is something I've learned about recently as well, and have suggested from people that are contacting us specifically about this outdoor visitation thing, to call this Carla Backman email her, kbackman@nd.gov, or call 701-328-4617, 701-328-4617, because we want to help, but there's only so much we can do, and appreciate everything that is being done to just fix it. That's what's got to be done. Brent, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
From the PetroServe USA studios today. Remember, grab and go home cooking. Valley City, some beef tips. What does Valley City today? No, but pulled pork and French dip sandwich. The meatloaf dinner in Harwood. The beefy enchilada skillet at 12th Avenue North or West Main Avenue, West Fargo. Chicken fettuccine. You're going to love it at PetroServe USA.
For years, Peckwood Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City has been there for you. And we're here for you now. Our top priority continues to be to keep our community safe and healthy. That's why we are taking extra measures in cleaning our facility to minimize any health risks. Convenient pickup and delivery to your home or office for sales and service is still available. Together, we will get through this and be stronger for it. Thank you from everyone at Peckwood Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City.
It's time to relax. With a jug of North Dakota sweet crude liqueur, at the end of a crazy day, let those stressful thoughts just melt away with the smooth taste of an unrefined, easy-sipping drink with rich North Dakota history. Ask for it by name at your favorite local liquor store. And go to crudespirits.com to see the variety of ways to enjoy North Dakota sweet crude. North Dakota sweet crude, a great way to finish your day.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.